It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Labor Day, producer Steve.
Yes, it's, we discussed it Friday. It's just the kickoff. I mean, it's the last big weekend of the summer, but to me, it's more significant because it's a kickoff to my favorite time of the year.
And you like the burr months.
Yeah, September, October, November, December. And I need to find out. I've seen it somewhere. There was an explanation for that in terms of the evolution of, you know, our language, I guess. There was something significant about that B-E-R, and I'm going to find out what it is.
I wonder if it's gets colder. Could that be it?
Yeah.
That other voice that you hear is my good friend, Sue Kinfield. She is in studio. She is the founder of See It Thrive, and I thought it was so appropriate, Sue, to have you here for Labor Day because you work with people. You're helping employers, employees in the workplace. We're in a crazy, unique time right now. And so it's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's always great to be here with you, Kim.
And let's get it out there right now. How can people get more information about you?
They can go to my website, which is SueKinfield.com.
Sue Kinfield, that's KENFIELD.com. And speaking of websites, mine is KimMunson.com. That's KimMonson.com. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter while you're there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and our most recent podcast. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, and that is government-induced inflation. And Steve, I know that this is something that I hadn't really thought as much about this. You were the one that really flag me on this, and that is unpredictable and excessive taxation. People make their financial plans with certain tax rates that are baked into that. But once those tax rates start to change, for example, I'm thinking about property taxes. Even though your property may be going up and, oh gosh, that's really exciting, you're not going to realize that until you sell that property. But what you are realizing is higher taxes. And that has been unpredictable. And I submit to you, it's somewhat excessive. And you're the one that really kind of got me thinking about that, Steve.
Well, it's just the notion that the way this game, and I'm sorry, somebody's going to be offended by that, but the rising property rates, the way they go, that's fine. But think behind it that the county level, that's usually where the property taxes go. They're sitting back and, I mean, they got to be grinning ear to ear because they know what it means.
Well, there's school district taxes, there's your fire, your park and rec, and it's an automatic tax increase and people don't even realize that. And Sue, you and I've talked a lot about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just in my own experience, every year, my assessment goes up. And
yay.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yay, will I ever be able to sell my house for this? And then it's like, oh, great, because I know what's coming next is a bigger property tax bill. And depending on how you do that, if you escrow, your mortgage goes up because mm-hmm. now they have to keep back more money. Or if you pay that outright, your bill's going up. So then you got to figure out a way how to make up that difference from what you might have been budgeting for. So, Yeah, people, it happens once a year, and we have short memories.
Yeah, and so. We need to be remembering that. And this idea that taxes should go up, that they just should go up. There's two tax questions that I am really working to defeat on this November ballot, which is right around the corner, because ballots are going to go out in the middle part of October. Now that we're through Labor Day, I think people are going to start to pay attention. But the first one is the city where I live, Lone Tree, is proposing a massive 55% increase in your retail sales tax. Now, they're couching it under it's just a penny. But it actually is 55%, a 55% increase. So diapers, school supplies, household supplies, your online purchases, you will pay 55% more in your retail taxes in Lone Tree if this passes. And it's been interesting. I posted I had to do a letter to the editor for the local paper, and I posted that in Nextdoor. And so there's been quite the interesting conversations going on about that, Sue.
What are you tending to see?
Well, a lot of people are saying, yes, this is a massive increase, and we must say no to that. And then you see those that opine, oh, it's just a penny. And I responded back, a penny here, a penny there. Ultimately, there will be no pennies in your pocket if we don't start to say no to this.
Yeah, it's an important distinction for people to be mindful, because, again, if there's no pushback, if people don't say, wait a minute, I need some more information about why this is happening, and you're accountable to me, the taxpayer, then at what point, you know, does it get too late for you to take a stand when you finally go, oh, wait, you know, all those pennies are adding up.
They are adding up. And there is a website that people can go to. It's NoLoneTreeTaxIncrease.com. That's NoLoneTreeTaxIncrease.com. And I've done a lot of research on that. And I just want to throw this out to you, Sue. I had asked the city, they had done this, speaking of percentages, people have those that are in favor of this tax increase have said, Kim, you're scaring people that it's a 55% increase in taxes. Why don't you just talk about that it's just a penny? However, if you go and take a look at the very fancy online presentation that the mayor and city council made, they talk about percentages, that they'd done a survey and the percentages of people. They only use percentages. But I did ask for the backup documentation. And first of all, the survey that they did, they surveyed, from what I can understand, 344 people, 156 responded. And then they give the numbers of those 156, but they spent $27,500 on that survey.
Surveying
those 156 people.
Oh, wow. That's
to get what they wanted, to say that people, to try to get to a point where it says that people would support this tax, this tax increase.
Yeah, keeping the language consistent. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're using percentages, then why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So I'm using both. It is a one penny increase. It's also a 55% increase. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. The second thing is another initiative. It's going to be on the statewide ballot, and it is a proposed retail marijuana tax increase for the children. And we have really looked at that. No matter whether or not you are Democrat, Independent, Republican, what this puts in place is a unelected, unaccountable board that's in charge of all of this tax money, and they are appointed by this governor, and then they get to pick their replacements. What could go wrong with that?
That's a pretty stunning situation.
It is, isn't it?
It's unelected, unaccountable, and they get to pick their own replacements. Uh-huh. Where's the democracy in that?
One might ask that question. Mm-hmm. Yes. So stay tuned on that, because we have a lot of information on that as well. Sue, since you were in studio and since it's Labor Day, because you are one of the most beautiful people that I know, I decided to go to Mary Kay Ash for our quote for today. And she was the founder of Mary Kay. And What an entrepreneur. And she has empowered so many women to be entrepreneurs.
She has.
And whenever I see a pink Cadillac, I always think, oh, that's so cool. But Mary Kay Ash was an American businesswoman and founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics. At her death, her personal fortune was $98 million. Her company had more than $1.2 billion in sales and an international sales force of more than 800,000 in at least three dozen countries. Is that not amazing?
That's amazing.
And I normally don't note where people are, their birthplace, but I thought this was pretty fascinating. She was born in 1918 in Hot Wells, Harris County, Texas.
A lot of good stuff happens in Texas.
And she died in 2001. But this is what she said. She said, don't limit yourself. Many people limit themselves to what they think they can do. You can go as far as your mind lets you. What you believe, remember, you can achieve. And I'm thinking of those 800,000 people, primarily women, mm-hmm. that it allows flexibility. It allows them to go after their hopes and dreams, take care of their families. And I just thought that was a great quote.
It's a perfect statement about resiliency, too.
It is. So. What a nice little segue to what we're going to be talking about in segments 3 and 4. That voice is Sue Kinfield. Sue, we'll go to, you know, we're going to go to break here in just a minute. And when we come back, you and I have had a lot of conversations about the COVID reaction, disruption, and what has happened. And you and Patty had both really explained to me this distinction between the Pfizer vaccine that has been, quote unquote, approved, and kind of a bait and switch that has occurred. And we had former Army Medical Service Corps Pam Long on just recently to talk about that as well. It's really a bait and switch. So we'll talk about that in the second segment. Before we do that, though, a couple of things. Hooters Restaurants is a sponsor of both of my shows. They have locations in, let's see, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they have all kinds of specials. They have lunch specials, to-go specials, happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Kids eat free on Saturdays with the purchase of an adult entree. So be sure and check out Hooters Restaurants, a great place to get together with friends. You and I have gone over there together when we wanted to just sit and have some conversation. And so great place to do that. Go to my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Click on the sponsors tab. I highly recommend all of them, and of course Hooters Restaurants as well. And then also coming up is U.S. Constitution Week in Grand Lake, Colorado. Grand Lake is one of my most favorite places in the whole world. And Constitution Week is September 13th through the 19th. The main event is on the 18th. They'll have a parade, a great event in the park. I have the great honor of emceeing that event. So go to usconstitutionweek.com. And let me get that exactly. I had it up here. It's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. And would highly recommend that you go ahead and get your reservations made, because I think that the accommodations will probably sell out in Grand Lake. But never fear, you can actually find accommodations in both Granby and Fraser as well. So we're going to go to break. Sue Kinfield is in studio, and we'll continue our conversation about the Pfizer vaccine and segments 3 and 4. We'll talk about resiliency. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
I hope. back to the Kim Munson Show, be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. In studio with me is Sue Kinfield. She is the founder of See It Thrive. And in segments 3 and 4, we'll talk about the workplace and resiliency. Sue, it's just been remarkable what has happened in America, how 2 weeks to flatten the curve has become, 18 months of disruption. It's just been pretty amazing.
It's unprecedented. It really and truly is unprecedented. I haven't lived through anything like this in my lifetime. And, you know, the sad thing about it is I think at the end of 2020, it wasn't just the pandemic. I mean, keep in mind, we had to deal with all the civil unrest. We had a really contentious election going on and a process after the election. And I think people were ready to turn the page and looking for some hope in 2021. Mm-hmm. And we can talk a little bit more about that later in the show. But it just keeps going. And so this unprecedented nature of what, again, was 2 weeks to flatten the curve over a year ago, it just keeps extending and extending and extending. And so where's the end?
Well, the positive thing, I think, Sue, on this is as we continue to search for truth, ultimately the truth will set us free. And that is why we do this show, is to continue to search for truth. And I had mentioned this the other day to someone. I like to have a candle on my stove, and I forgot to blow it out the other night. And so when I came down early in the morning, it was still lit. Hmm. And it was dark, and I looked at it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, just this little light here can cut through the darkness. And mm-hmm. I thought that is what we are trying to do as well, is to bring truth to this, to bring light to this, to cut through the darkness.
Yeah.
And one of the things, both you and Patty mentioned this to me, and I hadn't really gotten my brain around it. And then we had Pam Long on, who is a former captain with the Army Services Medical Corps. And, I do want to mention that there has been a lawsuit that has been filed on behalf of over, I think, 20,000 of our military that have actually had COVID, so they have the antibodies. But yet this administration is wanting to force everybody in our military to get the vaccine, and that lawsuit has been filed, which I'm really pleased to say. So hold out. If you want to get the vaccine, I applaud your freedom to do so, mm-hmm. but I also applaud your freedom to say no. Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal, Sue.
That is a big deal. It's going to be interesting, and I think it's part of what I think a lot of people are now wondering, what is going on? Why this incessant push for a vaccine? And I mean, just interestingly, yesterday there was a news report that came out that hospital admissions fall for the first time in weeks. And they quoted a Dr. Jeffrey Shaman, the director of climate and health program at Columbia University, who said that the death rate from COVID-19 fell from 0.77% in April 2020 to 0.31% in December of 2020, meaning that by the end of last year, the COVID survival rate for all demographics is 99.69%. And that the estimated death rate for influenza is 0.08%, the researchers noted. So there's a disconnect when people who have had COVID and who have the antibodies, you wouldn't typically vaccinate people who already have antibodies against what you're trying to vaccinate them for. But there's no conversation about that. It's not even included in the conversation. And the demonization of people who try to bring that up makes it suspect, right?
It does.
So I think people are starting to take a step back and go, well, wait a minute. And I mean, we've had this flip-flopping of, you know, masks and social distancing and all these different things. And so I think the whole thing is quite muddled for people. And again, like you, if people feel more comfortable getting the vaccine, then by all means, that's your freedom to do so. And yet people have the right to question whether or not, number one, they actually need it if they've already had COVID. And number two, if it's an experimental vaccine, I want to know what's going into my body. That might be what some people are thinking. And so
you think?
To me, that seems like a reasonable request, mm-hmm. right? I just want to understand what the potential side effects might be and any additional information that I might need to know if I agree to go ahead and get this vaccine. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that case.
Well, it will be. And one of the headlines that Patty recently had pulled, this was from, Business Insider. And it said that two top FDA officials resigned over the Biden administration's booster shot plan, saying it insisted on the policy before the agency approved it. I really question that. And it said the FDA announced the resignations of Marion Gruber and Philip Kraus. The pair lead the FDA office in charge of approving vaccines. Politico and Endpoints reported they left in frustration over Biden's COVID-19 booster shot plan. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced the resignations of these two top vaccine officials and reports that the two were leaving in anger over the Biden administration's plan to roll out COVID-19 booster shots before these officials had a chance to approve it. That's a pretty big deal.
It sounds like Biden got out in front of his skis.
well,
not that that ever happens.
No.
But kudos to them. You know, my hope is that they're doing it not because they got tweaked, you know, and somebody, you know, kind of stepped on their toes, but that they're taking a step back and looking at what's going on and saying, we've got to just stop. You know, let's breathe a little bit. Let's reassess our program. Let's reassess our approach and, you know, come together and make a decision rather than, you know, somebody just announcing that.
From the administration,
mm-hmm.
which that's one other thing. And I guess I teased this, but hadn't finished my thought on that. And that is the conversation we had with Pam Long. And I've had conversations with you and Patty about this as well. The headline said that the Pfizer vaccine had been approved by the FDA. And there were many conversations that said this now puts in place the ability to increase even more mandates from employers and schools to force people to get this vaccine. But it's like, wait a minute. What was approved was at the Comirnaty, I think that they call it. That vaccine is not what is out there on the shelves right now.
Yeah, in my understanding, it's limited availability, if at all. So this does get pretty confusing because the research that I've done, it shows that there's two letters that the FDA sent out on the 23rd. One was to Pfizer about their existing vaccine, and the other one was to BioNTech about this Comirnaty or
Comirnaty.
I'm not exactly sure the correct pronunciation of it, but. And I've had a couple conversations about this, and there's people who are claiming that they're the exact same chemical makeup of the vaccine, but they're labeled differently. So that means legally they're two distinct vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're being promoted under the umbrella of Pfizer, everybody just jumped on the bandwagon and said the Pfizer vaccine has been approved by the FDA. Well, when I dug deeper and I went in and I read the letters and I read the letter to Pfizer at the top of page 12, it states from the FDA, this vaccine is not licensed and it's still under the emergency use authorization.
That's under the Pfizer one that's on the shelves, right?
Yeah, the one that's been utilized since the beginning of the year and is currently being utilized.
Okay.
And I think the FDA makes a mention that, you know, due to the availability of that vaccine, you know, the new one, the licensed one from BioNTech, the Comirnaty or whatever.
Yeah, I need to look that up.
They won't be rolling out the one that got licensed until they go through the inventory of the Pfizer one that was approved under the emergency authorization use. So there are people out there who think, here's how you tell the difference. The labeling is different.
Okay.
If you get a vial and you should ask to see the vial, in the package insert will be labeled for the licensed one approved by the FDA, BioNTech, Comirnaty, C-O-M-I-R-N-A-T-Y, mm-hmm. and that tells you that is the licensed version. The unlicensed version is just the Pfizer COVID vaccine. And so they will be labeled differently. And there's people out there who are positing that because Pfizer currently has unlimited liability protection right now under the emergency use authorization, that there won't be wide distribution of the one that's been licensed, because currently the one that's been licensed does not have full immunity.
Interesting. It seems like something naughty's going on with Comirnaty.
Well, again, if that's what the FDA approved, but and there's, you know, deeper questions about, well, what data did they actually use to approve and license this vaccine? And it happened, you know, within the period of, 6 to 8 months of the vaccine.
How can you have trials?
Yeah, and they shut down, you know, any public discussion, any committee discussion about it as well. So there's a lot of people feeling uncomfortable about the process that because it's so unique to what the FDA had done in the past. But that if, you know, Pfizer, some are saying, you know, wants to wait until the one that got licensed, the Comirnaty one, gets full immunity protection, which means if you have an adverse effect or you die as a result of that, you can't sue the manufacturer.
Okay.
But it's like, well, if it's safe, then why would you need full immunity protection?
Right, right. The other thing I wanted to address, and you had mentioned this, that there are some people saying that the composition of the Comirnaty is the same as the Pfizer vaccine that is under the emergency use authorization. And the question would be, then, if that's the case, then why hasn't the emergency use authorization been approved as well? So this, to me, I can see where the question is, but it seems to me that what is happening out there is, if in fact it was the same, it should be approved as well. So I kind of question that. And I question so much that's been coming out over all this time, Sue.
Well, and again, we go back to, you know, what you brought up earlier. For people who have already experienced COVID and have antibodies, you know, but now are being pressured to get a vaccine, in some cases mandated. And I was surprised, you know, when recently the CDC was saying that unvaccinated people shouldn't travel over this last holiday weekend.
It is astounding to me that basically they're trying to really take away our freedoms on that, Sue. I just can't believe. I mean, freedom of mobility, to be able to go see your loved ones, to go where you want to, when you want to. It's been so inherently American.
Well, and I'm a pretty analytical person. When I see, you know, somebody who has some credibility say that the survivability rate of this virus has been 99.6-something percent, and then I see all these measures being taken place, I'm like, I'm missing something.
There's a disconnect.
There's a big disconnect for me.
That's for sure. So, hey, we're going to go to break. Sue Kinfield is in studio with me. She is the founder of See It Thrive. Very important conversation about addressing fear and having resiliency in our lives. So important as we are going back to the workplace. There's a lot that has changed from the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Before we do that, though, something that has been under assault, and that is our U.S. Constitution. And it is a beautiful document because it is a document by we the people. And we the people should be governing ourselves, not politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are unelected and unaccountable to us. And they're doing a great celebration. This will be September 13th through the 19th up in Grand Lake, Colorado. It is the home of the premier Constitution Week celebration in all of America. And they have events all week long. I will be up there for the main event on Saturday, the 18th. And they will have a parade of just a real taste of Americana and a great event in the park as well. Make sure that you make your reservations soon for your accommodations. If Grand Lake is full, check out both Fraser and Granby. And again, that website is GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. We'll be right back with Sue Kinfield.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is my good friend. She is the founder of See It Thrive. And Sue, it's great to have you here. Tell us a little bit about your business.
I focus on helping people largely in the workplace. The human dynamic is one of the most important contributors to an organization's success. People are the most important asset that any business has. And if that dynamic isn't working effectively, then the organization and everybody sort of pays a price there, whether it's personal, individual, or organizational success. So I do a lot of work with leaders. I do a lot of work with teams. I work with people to kind of help them move beyond some of the challenges that we face just as part of our human nature with emotional and behavioral intelligence, conflict management, developing better leadership skills and performance improvement in general.
What would you say is one of your best success stories that you could share with our listeners?
Oh, gosh. You know, there's a lot to choose from there. I think it's when, you know, people can take a step back, particularly when I'm working with a team, and they can start to view one another not as opposition, if you will, or not as bad people because they have a disagreement, they might want to do things differently, but to set that aside and get to a place where they can objectively hear what someone's trying to communicate and move the relationship and the process forward to help everybody get more of what they want and what they need to have in the workplace.
We spend so much time at work that it is important that it not be work, that it's a vocation, it's a way to make a living, but it's also we spend so much time there that we want to try to enjoy what we're doing as well.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, it's a really amazing thing. I found this quote from St. John Paul, who wrote in his Laborum Exercens in 1981, from the beginning, therefore, he, man/woman, is called to work. Work is one of the characteristics that distinguish man from the rest of creatures whose activity for sustaining their lives cannot be called work. Only man is capable of work, and only man works at the same time by work occupying his existence on earth. Thus, work bears a particular mark of man and humanity, the mark of a person operating within a community of person. And this mark decides its interior characteristics. In a sense, it constitutes its very nature.
Wow.
And it's what we're hardwired for. It's the human spirit, you know, wants to its nature is to be upward, right? Upward in its movement, not stagnant or otherwise. And so work is part of that way. I believe we all come into the world with natural gifts and talents. And through the course of our life, you know, there's this desire that comes from within to manifest those gifts and those talents. And that brings happiness, satisfaction, the things that make life worth living.
Well, in talking about work, we have seen a real demonization of people that are the job creators, the man, if you will. We've seen a real demonization of that, and people just punching a card and going in and then can't wait to get out. And if it's a team, if you think about really creating a product or a service that makes other people's lives better, and if you, the worker, work to improve yourself so that you can be of more value, the sky's the limit on what's going to happen with that, Sue.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's And people pay attention to that, you know, within the organization. Organizations like to see people who want to take initiative and who are focused on solutions rather than getting lost and stuck in the problem. And, you know, the changes that the workplace experienced over the last 18 months, it was unprecedented. Again, there's that word. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people were, it was immediate. Right. It wasn't just, oh, we're going to think about doing this and maybe in a couple months we'll have everybody working from home. It was boom, here you go. People weren't prepared for that. So it was an immense disruption, both on an individual level, a team level, and an organizational level. And there's people who, you know, try to get around the limitations of technology. And, you know, that can work to some degree. But as human beings, we are hardwired to connect. We're hardwired to be face-to-face. You know, we're hardwired to read each other's body language, to sense the energy.
See their face.
Exactly. Sense the energy that's coming from them. And that's really hard to accomplish through technology, through a screen. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, thank God, I get to be in the workplace again, and I get to see my coworkers, and I get to, you know, experience that humanity, that human connection. And of course, there's a lot of other people who are like, heck no, I'm enjoying working in my pajamas or not having to shower, and I want to just work from my home. And more introverts are probably enjoying that because they just prefer to have that quiet time and be alone.
Okay, question for you. And I know a lot of young people that they're extroverts, and many of them are now being told that they're never going back into the office. And that has been really hard on them.
It is. When, you know, there's, again, because it's that, it's a natural desire, right? And when you're extroverted, it might be a little bit on steroids, you know, to be around people or be the life of the party and, you know, have that energy and that connection. And it's just a tremendous disruption to culture. I mean, here organizations spend all this time pre-COVID working on their culture and how to create, you know, a collaborative culture and a high-performance culture and, you know, all the different cultures that people focus on. And then suddenly, you know, if you were an organization that prided yourself on that connection, I mean, I know organizations who have foosball tables in their break room and pool tables, and because it gets people interacting with each other and they can still talk about projects. Mm-hmm. It sort of unleashes some creative juices. Well, that's not happening in the same way. I mean, I haven't figured out how you play virtual pool together, you know, and get the same sort of benefit out of it.
Right.
So yeah, it's disruptive, and it's now put people in this position of having to assess, what do I need to get from my professional and enterprises, my professional engagement, so that I can feel like I'm reaching my potential. Mm-hmm. And it puts organizations in an awkward position too, particularly if they have a hybrid sort of environment where you have people who are like, heck no, I want to go to work. I want to be in the office. And it's easier to see those people, and it's easier to see their contributions. Therefore, it's easier to reward them.
Uh-huh.
And it's harder to see the contributions of people who are working only from home. So it puts organizations in a challenging position of having to be mindful of, while I may not be physically seeing this person outside of a screen or a Zoom call or at Microsoft team meeting, I have to keep in mind the contributions that they're making, as opposed to the person who bounces optimistically and energetically into the office and has a real positive impact throughout the day and in a different manner.
What would you say to that person that is not going back into the office, that loved going to the office? And as you say, it's difficult to assess all of their contributions. What would you say to them?
In terms of trying to get their contributions recognized?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to have to work a little bit harder at it, right? They're going to have to be more assertive. They're going to have to be more mindful of articulating their value proposition to the people who are noticing. And, you know, if they want to go back into the office and that's not an option, then perhaps they suggest a face-to-face meeting, you know, at a coffee place or somewhere with their team, you know, that they can still maybe create some opportunities for face-to-face collaboration in a way that's going to be supported by the organization. But, you know, if nothing else, try to have those one-on-one meetings, if possible, from time to time, face-to-face with your supervisor.
It is really remarkable. That is very, very good advice, because I think this has really been hard on people. And when you're at home, I remember after I had my first child, I was trying to work from home, and it was really difficult to get focused and to get the job done because there's so many different distractions. And so for many people, again, that love the office, there's so many distractions by working at home. What would you say regarding that particular discipline?
You have to have a dedicated space and you have to be really disciplined. I mean, I've had my office in my home the majority of my career outside of a few experience where I was, you know, going in-house. And you have to set it up so that you can shut out the distractions, you know, if possible, have a door. I know that's not always possible for people if they don't have the space, but set some rules if you have other people in your home that from this time to this time, no interruptions. That unless your finger got cut off or you're bleeding profusely, you know, don't bother me type of thing. I mean, I say that in jest, but obviously you have to figure out what works for your family. But it's really being mindful of, you know, here's my dedicated time that I can't be interrupted. And also making sure that you take a break. Because I know when I was going in the office, I was leading a nonprofit agency during the first 7 months of COVID. And I mean, I could barely take time to go to the restroom because the Zoom meetings were just back to back to back to back to back because there was no alternative. And so you have to make sure that you're taking a break, particularly if you're working from home. 15 minutes, make sure you have a dedicated lunch break. If, you know, try not to plan as many lunchtime meetings, working meetings, if you can, because you've got to balance this a little bit, which has become increasingly difficult for people.
So me eating lunch in front of my computer with my phone in my hand is probably not the best idea, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, all of us have been on a Zoom call and we've seen people eating, you know, and their camera is just like right there. And in most cases, that's not a very attractive look for a lot of people. So,
well, at least chew with your mouth closed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Be mindful of what it looks like for you to be shoveling food in your mouth while you're on a screen with a lot of folks watching.
It's been just truly amazing. This is really good advice. Let's go to break, Sue. When we come back, let's talk about fear and resiliency, because I think that is so important. It's something that people really need to hear. I'm talking with Sue Kinfield. She is the founder of See It Thrive, and that website is Sue Kinfield, KENFIELD.com, SueKinfield.com. Before we go to break, though, a couple of things. U.S. Constitution Week is in Grand Lake, September 13th through the 19th. Check out Grand Lake USConstitutionWeek.com for all of the information there. It is a great event. And then also, the show comes to you because I have great sponsors, and one of those is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado, and a family-owned business, Hal and Linnea Van Herkey. They are true entrepreneurs. So whether or not you might need a gift, birthday or wedding, anniversary, or you're a collector or a sportsman or a chef, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. That's Castlegate.com, Castlegate.com, and we will be right back with Sue Kinfield.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I hope you are enjoying your Labor Day. I'm thrilled to have in studio with me my friend and the founder of See It Thrive, Sue Kinfield. That website is Sue Kinfield, KENFIELD.com. And Sue, you help businesses
figure out the dynamics of the workplace, which that is pretty important work.
Yes, indeed. It's the people era, and more so now than ever. So if you can't get your most important asset dialed in, it's a challenge on a lot of different levels.
And dialed in is a critical term right now, because there are people that are still afraid to come back to the office, correct?
There's a lot of fear, Kim, and there's a lot of, I mean, people are just worn out, you know, so the stress levels are at historic levels, burnout levels are at historic levels, and it's just, it's been a lot, you know, when you think about everything that we've been exposed to, and I don't mean the virus per se, but just the changes, the amount of change and the pace of change and the intensity of that change in a really compressed time, we've had to contain more than is probably ever been put on people at any given time in our lifetime. I mean, clearly there's, you know, a lot of different things that have happened, but it's just, and it's like the shoe keeps dropping. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, people are struggling for hope. And there's this constant fear coming out. I, you know, it was interesting. I was seeing some clips last night on the news that they were showing from last year, and on the side it was the death count,
oh,
and
yeah.
the death count. And you know, we're not seeing that graphic anymore
because it has a 99.9% survival rate.
Certainly, and people don't have any context. You know, I did some research and I saw that in 2019, the number of people who died from heart disease related illnesses was over 650,000, which exceeded the number of people who died from COVID in 18 months. And I don't say that to diminish any of the deaths that we've experienced, but there's no contrast to it. There's no context. And so fear is a really effective manipulation tool, and we are susceptible to it. And, you know, people can sort of push back against that in the beginning, but I think this incessant nature of
18 months,
fear-mongering,
19 months.
Oh. it wears on people,
and
it's hard for them to reach for hope. And that's why I'm so passionate about working with people around resiliency, because I'm a deep believer. I'm a champion of human flourishing. I'm a deep believer in the power of human ability. And I know what people are capable of doing because I've seen them change. I've seen them morph. And it's even as I've got a master's degree in counseling, and when I was doing my therapist internship, you know, having clients that had breakthroughs. And you don't get those every day. But when you do, it's like a high, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I did anything. I mean, I facilitated a process, but they were the ones that stepped into it with some courage, and to see people embrace that, and it changes them, right? They can't go back to being who they were after something like that. And so that's the thrill I get from doing what I do.
Well, and if people want to reach you, so say I'm an employer out there, say I'm just to have a little business, you can help big, little businesses,
yes.
all of them?
Yes, absolutely.
And help people break through, because then if people are thriving and flourishing in their job, thriving and flourishing in their life, they're going to be more productive. Everybody's going to do better,
right?
If that's the case.
Well, and you know, I've got the quote on my website: when you know people do what they know, and when they know better, they do better.
Ah.
And so, through the work that I do, you know, I help people see things maybe in a different perspective. I help them develop skills that allow them to do better, and so they're able to show up in their full potential, which helps both them and any organizations that they support too, and their relationships.
And it reminds me of a friend of mine that would stop at a little convenience store on a regular basis, and the night clerk there was just very, very good, you know, very cheerful, and how can I help, and all. And a few months later, guess what? He was the manager of the place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so attitude is very important around resiliency, correct?
It's incredibly important. And one of the biggest factors when we look at human flourishing, you know, it is that attitude. It's that ability to bounce forward, you know, through adversity and not have it knock you on your behind for long periods of time. Now,
and everybody gets knocked on their behind.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I just wrote a blog about discernment, you know, and what's influencing your ability to discern, and our emotions play an incredible role in that. And I shared the story of how I was skiing once with a friend of mine in flat light, and if it's cloudy and you can't make mm-hmm. out the contours of the run or the nuances of the snow, it's like what we're operating in now, you know, this uncertainty and this flat light that people are like, I can't make my way through kind of this fog. Well, luckily for me, the sun came out that day. But what it revealed to me is that I was reacting to something that, I mean, I was the only variable that changed was the sun came out and it illuminated the run and I could now see better. But the snow was the same. The run was the same. Nothing else changed except for some light. So we can turn the light on ourselves. And you can see that blog on my website, SueKenfield.com. But it's that attitude of being able to check in and see, how much am I allowing fear to control what I do? How much am I allowing anger to control what I'm allowing myself to do or accomplish? Am I going through life with a pessimistic attitude, or can I develop some realistic optimism? And that is really the key. And I distinguish that realistic optimism from just being, you know, Pollyanna-ish optimistic, because realistic optimism is being able to see things with an optimistic point of view, but recognize that there's going to be challenges and you're going to have to work through maybe some obstacles, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try.
Do you not think that we have done a disservice to ourselves and to our children if we do not acknowledge that we will fail in things? And in that failure, though, the getting up and the resiliency to get up and continue on, and that quote about resiliency, it's nothing new for each generation, but this idea that we can't fail, I think that's a real problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, failure is a natural part of life. I mean, people know the story about Thomas Edison and the number of times he tried to create the light bulb, and if he had stopped, you know, where would we be? Mm-hmm. Well, someone else might have picked it up. But again, it's, yes, my mom, who raised five kids by herself, used to tell us, you can do anything you set your mind to.
My dad told me that too.
Yeah. And, you know, they're a part of the Greatest Generation, right?
Right.
And you interview people with your
American Veteran Stories
all the time, you know, that Greatest Generation, who it was just part of their nature to pick themselves up, dust themselves off, pull up their good, you know, their big boy or the big girl pants, and keep moving forward. And you know, sadly, over the decades, you know, we've seen things come around with teaching people learned helplessness, and sadly, some of these well-intentioned government programs foster learned helplessness. But it's a soul-sucking experience for people, because, as I mentioned earlier, our nature, the very essence of who we are, wants to expand. It wants to move up. It wants to accomplish and achieve and have that expression of what we were born with, you know, and these gifts and talents. And when the government comes along and says, you're not able, you're not capable, so therefore
you're oppressed,
we're going to do it for you, and, you know, or we're going to help you by doing this, but then that help never ends, but it actually limits your ability. There's a cap, right? You mm-hmm. can't go above a certain level.
Right.
And so being able to pursue your ability to step away from those programs while you might need them to get, you know, on your feet, to have that goal, to allow yourself that full expression of your humanness, of your human, your spiritual being, you know, whatever that is. And that comes through being able to develop a realistic optimism in your life and how you approach things. And that's a huge part of resilience.
Well, and it is so important in this particular time. What would you say to people, Sue, about this continual fear that we hear from big media and big data, and big tech, the government? How would you tell people to address this fear that just continues to come up on us?
Turn it off. You know.
Oh, what a great idea!
step away from social media. I left Facebook. I left Twitter earlier in the year because it was too much for me to watch. If people can take on more of that personal responsibility, that accountability, and take a look at, where is your locus of control? Are you are you going about life thinking that your ability to accomplish, to be, to do, to have is driven by external circumstances, whatever that might be? Or do you recognize that you actually have some control over the trajectory of your life and that you can make some different choices? And some of those choices may be, I'm not going to listen to the news as much, or I'm not going to listen to the news for a week, and then see how you feel. And then you get a good sense of, wow, what is this doing to me? I'm going to step away from my social media for a week. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to read this stuff. I mean, even as someone who teaches this and knows this stuff, my blood pressure starts to go up after too much of it. It's like, it's too much. It's too much right now. And so start to develop that internal locus of control, where you recognize that you are in control of your destiny and that you can engage in more proactive behaviors to achieve the things that you want to achieve. Move out of learned helplessness and embrace that. And you can do that through seeing the world in a positive way, which is part of realistic optimism, but still be able to see things realistically. Know that there's going to be challenges. Know that you're going to have to face some of those challenges, but you're better able and you're better prepared to do that when you come from a place of strength rather than a place of fear and weakness.
Is there any particular book or a favorite saying that you would like to leave with our listeners today, just to, so that they could do some self-help on that?
Well, one that always pops into my mind is, what the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And, you know, I think that's from the book Think and Grow Rich, but I'm not certain right now. But again, you know, having those positive messages, you can do anything you set your mind to. Now, there might be some limits. I'm not going to, you know, press 4,000 pounds with my legs, you know.
You have to be realistic on
this. Exactly. I can, but I can, you know, stop comparing yourself to other people, which is what happens with social media. And what happens, you know, we're being pitted against each other on a daily basis in a lot of different ways. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Stop demonizing yourself and demonizing other people. If you want to focus on growth, compare yourself to yourself. How well are you doing today versus how well you were doing yesterday? Or how well are you doing this month in comparison to how well you were doing last month? If that's the comparison you do, that's going to help you a lot, rather than comparing yourself to people who curate their feed to make it look like they're living this most wonderful life, and they're not.
Great advice, Sue Kenfield. Again, that website is Sue Kenfield, KENFIELD.com, SueKenfield.com. Our quote for today, for the end of the show, is Mary Kay Ash. She says, "And don't stop until you have exercised your full potential, realizing your impossible dream and fulfilling your total destiny to become the person that you and only you are capable of being." I thought you'd like that.
That's awesome.
Okay. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.